Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Amy McQuire with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations people all across the country. I'd like to acknowledge my elders past and present and the elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to our listeners if you tuned in across the nation via the National Indigenous Radio Service. And if you're listening on the website 989fm.com.au or on the podcast a little bit later, welcome to you as well as we continue our tribute to an amazing man, Tiger Bales, who built up this radio station and hosted this very program for the past 16 years. Tiger sadly passed away over the weekend, and this week we at the radio station have been paying our tributes to him. And it's not just us as well. A lot of you have rung in, and thank you so much for ringing in. Yesterday we had a few messages that I'll play shortly I'm going to play because I think it's important. I'm very overwhelmed by just the impact he had on so many people he may not have even met, as well as the people he met. If you want to leave a message that we can play out on air a little bit later, the number is 07-3892-0181, and you can just leave it there on our voicemail and we'll be able to play it as well. So that number's there for you. Yesterday we had a number of callers call in that I couldn't put to air just because of the high volume of calls. So I'll play that, and we'll hear from Uncle Jimmy Little, who was a favourite of Tiger's. Now, today we'll also hear from Trevor Tim, who is the chair of the Peak Aboriginal body, Australian Indigenous Communications Association. And Tiger was chair of that organisation for a very long time and was deputy chair before he passed away. We'll also hear from Uncle Archie Roach, who pays tribute to Tiger. Later on in the show, we'll also have a very special tribute from Stephen Oliver of Black Comedy fame, who's been working at 98.9 for a long time, and he's actually written a poem specifically for Tiger. And we'll also hear from one of Tiger's longest running and most regular guests, Chris Graham, who will pay a short tribute as well. And I think Chris was on the radio, I think every second week, or maybe even every week with Tiger. I think the only person who rivals him is John Altman, who actually sent me a message earlier this week saying that he thinks he spent about 50 hours on air with Tiger. So we'll hear from him as well. But from now, we'll hear a few callers from yesterday and also Uncle Jimmy Little.
Good morning. It's Doug Dittoli here. I just wanted to leave my respects to Tiger. Tiger was a wonderful man and very staunch person for the Aboriginal and First Nations people, I should say. And he was just a wonderful man and did lots of great things and stuck up for the people and stood up for them in rallies. And Tiger and I didn't always see eye to eye, but he let you have your own opinion. And then he just told you how it was. A lovely man and a wonderful man and a beautiful person. And I just wanted to wish him and his family all the best and in their grieving, and hopefully that they can just look upon all the good things that he did and take that as comfort. And I just hope that helps them through this grieving time. All the best wherever you are, Tiger. You're a good man.
Yeah, good morning. I'd just like to send my condolences to Tiger, well, to Tiger's family. I met the man quite a few times, but he had a vision from what he's achieved. I think now people can look back at what he did achieve and how great a man he was.
I was born on the banks of the Murray. Yorta is my mother's tribal stand. I'm her son, but my father's name I carry. As I walked through this great and ancient land, my father taught me all the things I needed, like identity. dignity with love. From his southern tribal coastal ways of living, Wallaga Lake and Gulagoon Mountain high above. I'm a Cree and I come from Cumraganja, where my people and my dreaming all began. Someday I know I will be returning, like the legend of my tribal boomerang. My tribal ways are strong and not forgotten, and though my city ways of living, well, they may be grand, but you know, I could pack it up, yes, and leave it all tomorrow, and go back to my Yorta, Yorta clan. The nature of the bush in all its beauty gives me strength in my will to understand that no matter where I go, my river people will be waiting for this Yorta, Yorta man. I'm a Koori and I come from Cumraganja, where my people and my dreaming all began. Someday I know I will be returning, like the legend of my tribal boomerang, like the legend of my tribal boomerang, like the legend of my tribal boomerang.
This is Let's Talk with Amy McQuire.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. We heard from another legend, Uncle Jimmy Little, just before. And thank you so much to our listeners who called in yesterday and that we couldn't put to air. We had quite a few callers. But if you do want to pay tribute, we do have a feedback line where you can sort of leave a short message on 07-3892-0181. So that's 07-3892-0181. And we'll continue to play those, I guess, throughout the day and into tomorrow. I think there's no sort of time limit on how many we can pay tribute to, because he obviously leaves such a huge legacy. Next, we're going to hear from Trevor Tim, who was the chair of the Peak Aboriginal Media Body, Australian Indigenous Communications Association, and Tiger was chair for also for a very long time. He actually served as deputy chair as well. We'll also hear from Uncle Kev Carmody, another one of Tiger's favourites, before Uncle Archie Roach is actually going to pay tribute. Dan Rennie, who is our breakfast host, spoke to him yesterday. So here's Trevor Tim. Welcome, Trevor Tim, who's the chair of the Australian Indigenous Communications Association. Tiger was also on the board of that association, as was I, actually.
Yes.
First of all, and also you run BBM up in Cairns, don't you? So shout out to all the mob up there.
Thank you, all the mob up there. And director of Bumabipa Media.
Yep.
Also the host for the National Talk Black program in Cairns, yes.
And I think in Cairns it runs straight after Let's Talk in the morning, doesn't
That's correct, yes. And Tiger, bless his soul, my big brother, I'm like the mini version, the Baron Bulliard version of Tiger, and I call him Mini, I call myself Mini Me, belongs to Tiger. He's a mentor to myself, and the fact that I follow the program National Talk Black straight after Let's Talk. So there you go, following more ways than one, you know. He's a pioneer for this industry, pioneer for our mob in Indigenous media, as well as for fighting for our mob across the nation. We're the first people in this nation, and he was a pioneer in that way as well, you know. So very powerful man, and left his footprint, don't worry about that, left his voice in a strong way for our mob.
And when did you first meet Tiger? What was your first impressions?
Yeah, well, I've been in the business for 10 years, and when you first meet Tiger Bales, it's like, big man in status, and big figure he is. And can come over a bit intimidating, especially with that voice that goes behind it, you know. And you get that smile with that noogled teeth there, no teeth there, but a big heart as well as the big frame. Very powerful. You can see he was a man that everybody looked up to, but he wasn't doing it all for himself. It was the fight that put him in that position, and he respected the position and held the position well. For our mob leading away.
What do you think, as the chair of our peak Aboriginal media body, what sort of gap do you think he leaves in the Aboriginal media landscape?
Well, a big gap. We've got big shoes to fill there, and I, as the chairperson of ACA, in which he was previous chair, and came on board to be a director and not at holding the reins, so to speak. So he passed the baton on, so to speak. So give him a lot of respect for that, and when I was nominated to be the chair, I looked to him to be the chair, and he was happy for me to be the chair, you know, national peak body. And we've got to struggle in more ways than one with government and with mob and with non-Indigenous media as well. So it's a vehicle that we're struggling to row the boat, so to speak. But and he was a strong rower in that sense. But yeah, it's up to us now to lead the show and be a voice for our people at the peak level.
What sort of issues do you think were important that he raised on the program that might not have been sort of covered in mainstream media?
Well, with all our Indigenous media, a lot of stuff that we talk about, us mob, First Nation people, is not talked about on mainstream media, whether it be radio, television, what have you. It's like
completely
on the shelf, completely not there, you know. So it's powerful for, like I said, a voice for our people in all Indigenous media. So it's a powerful vehicle. I just want to emphasise that in more ways than one. And we should utilise it and use it to advantage. And for any non-Indigenous media out there, if they want to know about anything, we'll come to Indigenous media because you ain't going to talk about it. But if you want to know the duck's guts, so to speak, we'll come to Indigenous media because we are the people, First Nation people.
One of the saddest things I think is when I think about Tiger's long career and the sort of the fights he fought for Aboriginal media, it still saddens me that we're in a stage where Aboriginal media, particularly community broadcasting, is so underfunded and undervalued. Mm. What do you think about that? That we're so far along and all of the sacrifices Tiger and yourself made, that we're still so undervalued?
Well, the question we ask you is the question we ask the government or ask the funding arms or whatever. You're saying that white media is more important than black media? I mean, get out of here, you know what I mean? It's not the case, you know. So, and it's funny they've got to put a dollar figure on it, you know. If you want to put a dollar figure on it, well, match it to a non-Indigenous media if that's the case.
Because I think there's a perception, you know, with journalism, mainstream journalism, it's just about putting things, you know, breaking a story, putting it out there. But I guess even up at BBM, it serves a completely different purpose, isn't it? It's about community.
And it's a glue for our people. It brings a story, and we talk from the heart, and it's grassroots and what have you, you know, and it comes to the forefront. And I'm finding in the last couple of years, 21st century, here we are, a lot of our mob, especially Indigenous organisations, are now using Indigenous media.
Yep.
So their messages can be heard, you know. So if we're talking about the so-called big pillars in regarding employment, health, you know, helping our mob in more ways than one, that this is the vehicle they should be using, and they are using it.
Yeah.
And non-Indigenous people, if you want to be in touch with the Indigenous mob, First Nation people, why not use the vehicle itself as well?
Do you have a lot of non-Indigenous listeners listening to BM up there?
Big time. They did a survey in Cairns about what radio station do you listen to, and we come second fiddle to the main radio stations in Cairns and North Queensland. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. That says a lot.
I guess you talked a bit about mainstream media not covering the stuff you talk about. What do you talk about on a daily basis on your program, for example, specifically affecting your people in Cairns?
Well, we talk about employment. We talk about stolen generation, stolen wages, you know.
That, you talk about sovereignty too, don't you?
We talk about sovereignty as well. We have
our
own program up there,
there
with Murumu and those guys, you know, and just talk about all the stuff that needs to be talked about. So, like I said, it is a very strong and powerful tool, you know, and we utilise and we chuck it out there. But there are non-Indigenous people to add to the conversation. And a lot of it's more for what we're doing, all thumbs up, and adding to it. Yeah? You'll have a couple of people ringing and disagree, but far and few between.
It's funny because it's only been, I think, late last year, the mainstream media finally clued into the fact that blackfellas might not want recognise or constitutional reform. You know, we may want to go another way, treaty, sovereignty. That's something BBM and Let's Talk, particularly I know Tiger talked about it a lot,
yes,
had been covering for a very long time, the past 5 years. So it's pretty amazing just how far behind the ball they are, aren't they?
Big time, that's right. And that, non-Indigenous government, non-Indigenous media, what have you, they feel as though one size fits all. Yep. Well, it's not the case. We've got 250-odd tribes out there, and not all are in conversation on the same lines.
Yeah.
So we are talking different angles or what have you. So
it's a lot of debate.
That's black and white. That's black and black. You know what I mean? And so it's not one side. So we can't have one Indigenous person speaking for the whole mob.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's got to be a very open conversation and respecting all the different mob on country to who their country is.
And I guess it's not just about the voices, it's about training as well. Can you think of the importance of getting so many more young blackfellas, giving them opportunities, isn't it? That's a big part of Aboriginal media.
Exactly. Exactly right. I mean, heads up to a AAA training here at BIMA, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association. A lot of our young ones from Cairns have been trained through AAA training. I mean, so that's powerful in itself, you know.
Yeah.
And hand the baton on and what have you. Like we are radio announcers. We just happen to be black. Do you know what I mean? And that's powerful. So we can get a job anywhere in the world as radio announcers.
Yeah, I think that's totally another undervalued part of Aboriginal media. People don't realise it, just the opportunities and what it can lead to for so many young blackfellas who wouldn't have that chance anywhere else. So
that's
when you look at all these achievements and just the powerful role Aboriginal media plays, particularly in Cairns, I mean, people like Tiger, it wouldn't be around if it wasn't for people like him, really, would it?
Well, like I said, one of the pioneers of this industry, and we'll take our hats off to it, and to people out there who disagrees with him or don't even like the man. I mean, a lot of those people are in this industry. Well, without a person of that calibre, you would not be in the industry, you would not be in that job or running that organisation if that's the case, you know, if it wasn't for this man. So there it is. He leaves a legacy in more ways than one.
He's pretty amazing.
Very amazing.
Just the last question. What do you see as the future? What can we sort of push towards? What do you sort of think about when
I'm talking about moving forward. You need a strong foundation. And we've lost our beautiful big brother, but the foundation he's built is very strong. So with a strong foundation, we can build an empire. And that we can do. And beginning's half done. We are now moving forward. A jet aeroplane down over vision mirrors. So we're focused on the future and where we're going and using this vehicle in driving forward for our mob, a voice for our people. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. That's Trevor Tim, who's... Are you the manager up there in BBM? Manager or director?
Just a worker, just a lackey. Okay. One of the directors.
One of the directors up at BBM in Cairns.
A big shout out to the management and the other directors, our chairperson, Guju Guju.
Oh, he's deadly.
Traditional owner of the land
deadly
up there.
Fella. Yeah.
So we've got a beautiful active board up there, an active staff and our volunteers. Thank you to our volunteers. So it's a team effort. And, big shout-out to Mob there and all our Indigenous radio stations across this deadly country of ours. We've lost a beautiful man there, a beautiful figure, and we need to – success breeds success. We need to move forward with that success and anything you can do to help your radio station, your community radio station, your mob delivering messages, then do it to it.
That's a beautiful way to end. That's also the chair of our peak Aboriginal media body, Australian Indigenous Communications Association, Trevor Tim, joining me in the studio to talk about this wonderful, amazing man, Tiger Bowles, who we're paying tribute to all week. Thank you.
Years us blacks were beaten down here, too long on the dole. My dignity I'm losing here, mentally I'm old. And there's a system here that nails us, ain't we left out in the cold? They took our life and liberty, friend, but they could not buy our soul. Well, Joel died, Che Guevara fought, Pamela lay down dead. If a person speaks out critically here, you can get loaded down with lead. And how long can the majority wait for this story to unfold? Well, they took their life and liberty, friend, but they could not buy their soul. Well, the clever man spoke precisely, humanity said was done. Its creed of greed could not proceed if our struggles to be won. For humanity's more important here than that constant quest for gold. Well, you may take life and liberty, friend, but you can never buy our soul. Well, Jesus woke one morning, rode a donkey up through the gate, and he could see quite clearly why he's going to face his fate. And the powers that be could see that he could not be bought or sold. Well, they took his life and liberty, friend, but they could not buy his soul.
This is Archie Roach, and I met Tiger back in the day when he was in Sydney and Skid Row and Redfern. You know, when he had his long hair and his moustache and his cowboy hat. I remember him well fondly from those times when we used to do do the building bridges concerts in the Bondi Pavilion in Sydney with different Aboriginal acts with mainstream Australian acts like Paul Cully and the Messengers and Crowd the House and people like that. So you know, Tiger's always been, you know, as far as, you know, and going on being interviewed, blown there at Building Ridges concerts, and going into the old studio in Redfern, which was just an old building that was basically like it was falling down most of it. You know, so Tiger, my friendship with Tiger started back then, but through the years, you know, when he left and went back up to Brisbane, up to Queensland, he gets up there, do shows or gets into the radio station, Murray Country. So he's a brother, you know, a brother's a good friend. Yeah, to stay with him sometimes, me and Ruby, when we was up that way. So he had a big impact on my life. He's an amazing man that did a lot to showcase, especially, you know, Aboriginal artists in the country. Yeah. Oh, look, you know, he for his work, you know, for what he's done, like I said, what he's done for First Nation, you know, peoples, artists, and you know, working with young people in communities and with film and radio, just a fighter, you know, for his people and to get our voice heard, and that's his legacy that we. Our voice, that we might be heard in whatever capacity, whether it be, you know, through the arts, music, or politics, or just our say, you know, just to have a say and how we feel about things and our communities. And that's a great, it's a great legacy. And he'd be remembered for some, a champion, someone who championed that cause, you know, to have a voice heard. Yeah. Well, this is Archie Roach, and thanks, Ty. Thanks, Tiger. You know, you've been a beautiful brother. You know, an inspiration to me. You, excuse me, I'm getting emotional now. An inspiration to me, and many others, I'm sure. You know, and, so thank you for all you've done, Beth. Thanks for your courage and for giving us a voice, fella. Always love you. Always be in my heart. And I'll catch you there. I'll catch you up in the dream bus. Yeah.
Side by side, we walk along to the end of Gertrude Street, and we tarpaulin muster for a quart of wine. Thick or thin, right or wrong, in the cold and in the heat, we cross over Smith Street to the end. Then we'd laugh and sing, do anything to take away the pain, trying to keep it down as it first went down in Charcoal Lane. Spinning yarns and telling jokes, now the wine is tasting good, 'cause it's getting closer and closer to its end. Have a sip and roll some smokes. We'd smoke tailor-made if we could, but we just may do with some city street blend. Then we'd all chuck in and we'd start grin when we had enough to do it again. But if things got tight, then we had to fight for Charcoal Lane. Up Gertrude Street we'd walk once more, with just a few cents short, and we'd stop at the builder's to see. Staggered home, all alone, and the next day we do it again. Have a revival in Charcoal Lane. I'm a survivor of Charcoal Lane.
If you missed today's show or would like to hear Let's Talk again, catch the repeat from 7pm weekdays or listen via the podcast at 989fm.com.au. Here's Amy McQuire with Let's Talk.
Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk, where this week we're paying tribute to a legend, Tiger Bowles, who passed away on the weekend, and this was his program that he ran for 16 years, so we're going to keep it going. And in the studio, I have two very special guests. I have Stephen Oliver and Chris Graham. Now, Chris Graham was a regular guest on this program. I think he was on every fortnight. I'm pretty sure that's true, Chris, isn't it?
It's all a blur.
I reckon you've probably spoken to him 100 times on
radio.
Yeah,
I did it many, many times, yeah.
And Stephen, you owe a lot to Tiger, don't you? Can you give me a few impressions or what you remember of Tiger?
Ah, man. Well, gee, where do I start? I guess with Tiger, I've actually written a poem for him that I'll be doing. But he was someone who just gave me a greater sense of my Aboriginality. It's hard to explain the feeling you get when you do a poem for Tiger Bales and he was standing there. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit.
Oh, you're going to make Uncle
Annie. I know,
Annie,
I think how we're going to get through this poem, but when you would have him there kind of nodding his approval and you when you get that off him and just what it meant, because, you know, I'd always thought my poems were kind of simplistic and stuff like that, you know, and I remember when I first actually performed them, you know, and the way people reacted. And it's kind of funny how I was thinking before, you know, like some of the amazing places I've managed to do my poetry. And one of those places was at the Sydney Opera House for the Australian Poetry Slam, the finals, when I went down representing Queensland. And I'm thinking it's strange, you know, here I am at the Sydney Opera House and this place is packed and everyone's, you know, cheering and that, for my poetry. And then I thought of this time in the lunchroom when I did one of my poems, and I had Tiger and Arnie Lilla Watson and Arnie Mary Graham sitting there, and they're looking at me and smiling and nodding. And I went, well, you know, the approval I got from those three people meant more to me than a full room at the Sydney Opera House could ever mean. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain the, you know, when you get that approval from people like Tiger and you know, any elders. So,
would you like to say your poem?
Oh yeah, sorry, I would. Hopefully, if I can, I've got to read through these tears. Okay. I haven't actually got a name for it yet. I'm getting the girls to name it, so I think it's only right that they should name it. So, hello, girls, I know you're listening, so I'm sending my love to you. You make me nervous knowing you're listening, but anyway, here's a poem. Black spirit that could not be tamed, now brighter glows, ancestral flame. So freely soar among our old while here on earth your deeds are told. The deeds born of a caring heart, a heart whose fire is unsurpassed. For love of your people, fan the flame that rightly earned the warrior name. You fought the struggle, there was no choice, and in our loss you found your voice. And so you spoke so all may hear the plight of those you hold so dear, and led you not, yet showed the way to a time of our ancestral days. Reminding me I must reject the deeds and words of disrespect. You spoke, I woke, my chains were broke. Your acts of fearlessness invoked this greater sense of who I am and made of me a greater man. You gifted all courageous heart a light of might through times of dark, a champion's voice to those unheard who delivered fools the scorn deserved. And so in truth, you are not gone. You'll live till there are no more dawns. You will not face mortality. Your name etched in black history, a history that stronger is for the simple fact that you have lived. And now in history's corridor, you stand there proud, a warrior. So let you rest. Your fight is fought. Let it carry on through all your taught as memories come to firmly hold the ways of you, the ways of old. And so it is this sense of pride, a dignity that's now amplified, a black spirit that cannot be tamed, so brightly glow, ancestral flame.
That was so beautiful, Stephen. Thank you so much. For I'm finding it hard to hold together.
No, we're going to be...
How was that,
sitting
Chris?
Here very quietly.
What did it mean to you, Chris, being on Tiger's program all that time? Tell us when you first got on the program, what was it like?
Well, ironically, not exactly like this, but I've only been nervous on Let's Talk twice. Once was the first time I appeared on Let's Talk because it was Tiger Bales, and the other is obviously this one. But I'd started the National Indigenous Times in 2002 with a group of people. And even before we'd published the first edition, I was being warned by people, you've got to go and see Tiger Bales. And it just kept coming up. Everyone kept saying, you've got to go and see Tiger Bales. He's in Queensland. Go and see Tiger Bales. He's kind of the king of black media. And so, you know, that kept coming up and it kept becoming a bigger and bigger issue for me. And I was as intimidated as you could possibly be by Tiger Bales. I mean, I've interviewed powerful people and celebrities and politicians. But Tiger, I was probably more intimidated by Tiger than anybody else. So I was more intimidated at the thought of Tiger Bales until I actually met the guy. And he still could be a very intimidating man, but it wasn't his nature, it was just his status that was so intimidating. In truth, he's probably the most generous man I've ever known. Very generous with his time, and he was very generous to me as a kind of white, enthusiastic journalist who was running a paper focused on First Nations issues. And so when I first spoke to him, I was surprised at how accommodating he was. And again, generous. That's probably, if I had to sum up Tiger Bales, what he meant to me in one word, it would be generosity, because he was incredibly generous to me and others. I always feel, when I come to Queensland, I feel quite loved, which is unusual for me because I don't feel very loved in many other places. I'm not loved in my industry, and there's a lot of parts of Australia I'm not particularly loved at all. Alice Springs would be one of them. But Queensland, I feel quite loved, even though, you know, the tragedy of your State of Origin team and all the appalling things that go
thing.
With it.
Yeah, yeah, whatever, Chris Grant.
Yeah, I know. But I feel very loved in Queensland, and I 100% know the reason for that is Tiger Bales, because he was so generous with his program and allowing me on, and allowing me a voice. That he didn't just give First Nations people a voice. He gave white fellas like me a voice as well. And, you know, I'm a bit like Stephen. I find I've kind of stayed quiet for a bit of time because I don't, you know, it's difficult to sum it up. I just tried. I don't think I did very well, but that it's difficult.
I've been finding it very difficult as well, and it's really hard because obviously I talk for a living and I talk too much sometimes. But I think for the first time in my life, I've been quite speechless since I heard the news this weekend.
I've never struggled to talk on Let's Talk before.
It was even actually, you know, I was just thinking, because while we had the Monday, Tuesday, and, you know, I was writing this, but then I was even thinking, you know, how was it going to be coming into work? Because kind of, you know, you walk into the building and you realise it's not going to be walking through that door again. Like you know, and you try to kind of get on with things, but there's also that thing that you know of it. And like you said, but I think, you know, it's and this is what I wanted to kind of put in the poem, is that he left such an impression on me. That's how strong his presence was. Yeah. That even without him, he was something that's always going to be felt, and it's always going to be something that's fueled, you know. And it's like, I mean, I guess with one of my poems, the one that kind of stood out with me the most, and I know, like, Haiti's Said and Real, they were probably two of his favourite poems, especially yeah. Haiti's Said. He always went on about that line where I would say about the horse, you know, with the nation stopping and stuff like that. And but I think when I did my poem for him, I'm a black fella. And as soon as I'd finished it, he just, you know, he said, oh, I record that bastard, get it on the air. And
Did you ever think of recording it before he said that? Or?
No. Like, I'd always, like, when I'd had a new poem I'd go in and, you know, and I'd always show him, because it was that thing of, like, oh, I get Tiger's approval, you know what I mean? Like, it just made me feel so, you know, so invigorated, I guess, and just so good. But you know, when he said that, and, you know, there's probably, you know, like, minus the swear word in there that he chucked him, but, you know, when I did it, and I actually said to him, I said, oh, really? And he goes, yes, don't do that bastard. He goes, record it, get it on the air. And And the reason why I said really, like, you know, I didn't doubt the poem, like, you know, whether or not it was a good poem, but it was because I had a line in there where I made a joke about, you know, my sexuality and finding a man and stuff like that, and it just struck me that here I have the staunch powerhouse of a man who's just been in the struggle forever and telling me to, you know, like, it was fine for me to chuck that line poem on air, because I think sometimes, you know, you get things like as a gay man, you get people going, oh, it's not really appropriate, or I don't think it's appropriate to do this. And Tiger never, ever, he made me feel like that. He never let who I am diminish my Aboriginality.
No.
And,
he was,
you know,
very progressive, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Look.
An incredibly progressive man.
Yeah, and he always made me feel that. And that's why, you know, I put in the line where, you know, your acts of feelingness invoke this greater sense of who I am and made of me a greater man. And, you know, and it is that thing where just his support in that just kind of made me more vocal a bit in it too, and going, yeah, well, you know what, this is who I am, and, you know, if you have a problem with that, that's, you know. Because even, like, I think when I do performances sometime, and there's always a comment where people go afterwards, oh, I thought it was very brave. And I think it's kind of funny that I get labelled brave because I'm just speaking about who I am as a person.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's something that will forever stick with me with Tiger, you know, just giving that to me as well, you know. And I mean, I think I had it, but he just endorsed it.
Yeah.
You know, and so
he,
like,
made you more confident. I don't think he would have gone on to where you ultimately went.
Endorsed, it's exactly how I feel. I have a similar kind of experience as a white guy. And if you had Tiger's endorsement, that was a very powerful thing. I have operated in Aboriginal affairs with a social licence, you know, from the community. And if I breach that licence, I get pulled into shape very well. But you actually have two licences, or I did. One was a social licence from the Aboriginal community to do what I do, and the other was the Tiger Bales licence to do what I do. And he did, that's what I meant about his generosity, is that Tiger endorsed me and made it so much easier for me to operate in Aboriginal affairs. It came with caveats, of course, because Tiger could pull me up as quick as he could put as quick
take
as
away
he could
that
point.
Black card.
Yeah, look, yeah, he could. He did once or twice on air have to pull me up occasionally. I will say, in my defence, I was on the program for almost 15 years, I suppose, or well over a decade. So
that was as long as it was running, because I think someone told me the other day this program's been running since about 2000.
Yeah, well, I think I first was on in about 2002. So, and then on regularly. And to be honest, I couldn't work out why Tiger would keep having this white fella on. And people who've listened to the program know that I can rant with the best of them about all sorts of things. And they're angry white man rants about what's being done to First Nations people, which, you know, there's a place for that. But I was surprised how often Tiger would give me a place for that. But the same experience as Stephen, that endorsement of Tiger Bales was incredibly
And it was a platform
precious.
As well, I think. He gave, you know, he gifted both of us.
Yeah.
He just, you know.
He was a guy, to me, that, you know, this is the, for me anyway, it's this ultimate tale of white privilege where I'm 43. I haven't really lost anyone I was incredibly close to until last year, which was Brian Johnson, who was a close friend of yours as well, Amy. And Brian was a mentor to me in journalism and how to be an activist journalist. And then a year later, Tiger Bales goes. And Tiger, I've always considered to be the mentor for me who taught me how to be around First Nations people. And he taught me the right way to be around First Nations people. Doesn't mean I don't get it wrong sometimes, because I'm a white fella, I'm always going to get it wrong occasionally. But, yeah, I mean, his loss, it still hasn't sunk in for me. And I've had the just enormous privilege to not just to get to know Tiger, but to get to know his family as well. And that's not something I would talk about, obviously, but other than to say it was an incredible experience knowing Tiger, and it's been an incredible experience getting to know his family as well. And at least one of those things will endure, I suppose. But
I think my favourite line from your poem, Stephen, is, "In your loss, I found your voice." Was that a big... Can you tell me a bit more about your line, that line, in sort of our loss as a people, Tiger found his voice and the voice of so many others?
Well, it was this thing of like... Because when I was going through and writing it, I initially the initial line I had I think it went along the line of for though you're gone now what remains that in our loss we have a gain kind of thing, you know what I mean? And but gain didn't just kind of it didn't seem the right word to thing, but it was just that thing about talking that, you know, there's so much thing that what black people have gone through, but also what has come out of that, within that, and this...
There's a lot of strength that comes
strength,
out of that.
This strength, this unity, and you know, and I think, yeah, and Tiger was just the epitome of that, this black spirit, this strength that just can't be put down. No matter what you try to do to it, you'll never silence it, no matter how hard you try, and... You can take away our land, you can take away our culture, whatever you want to try and take, but you will never take our voice.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what Tiger exemplified, you know?
That would be the second word I would use to describe Tiger's strength. I mean, he was a bull of a man. He had a barrel chest.
Stop stealing my words.
Yeah. Sorry. I just want to endorse everything.
I just finished talking about taking everything from us, and now you want to steal my words.
I steal stuff up occasionally.
We have a caller on the line. We have Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you? Would you like to pay tribute to Tiger?
Yes, I would. I did say something yesterday, and you played a bit of it this morning. I said he had a vision, and everyone can look back at that vision. And to Stephen Oliver, perfect poem. And to Chris Graham, I like listening to you. And I remember one article you wrote in your National Indigenous Times about Tiger going to visit his relatives up north, and his iron horse threw him off and he broke his leg.
Oh, right. And
Yes. And when I first met him, I mentioned that to him, and he said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, look, I did exactly the same thing, but I had to go to hospital. Mine's all patched up. So, but we have lost a very great, great man, you know.
Yeah.
I remember at the Murray School when the big hall just first opened, I went there for the graduation of my grandkids. They were in grade 1 and 2.
Oh, deadly.
And I met him at the door, and he was just standing at the door, and he was just looking at everything, and that's what I said.
Yeah.
You know, this is great.
I have a very brief Tiger Bales Iron Horse story, because for people, I mean, he rode a big motorcycle. It wasn't a Harley.
I know, yeah. He's Iron Horse.
Yeah, he actually drove all the way from Brizzy to Sydney once, and with a swag on the back. This was only a few years ago, and he came to my house in Glebe, and he'd ridden for hours and hours, and I think he hadn't realised his legs had basically fallen asleep, and he pulled up, and I came down to meet him as he pulled up, and he went to get off, and the bike toppled straight over, and it must have weighed about 100 kilos, and he just kind of jumped off and then just picked it up. I remember thinking, this must be the strongest bastard I've ever met.
Thanks for that, Steve, this morning. I really appreciate it. That was a caller, Steve, who rung in to pay his respect. And we've been getting an overwhelming response from listeners. Does that surprise you when you just hear just the impact Tiger had?
Nah, not at all. No, it's, yeah. I just expected it, you know, and I just thought it is just that kind of person where you go and you know, when you have that outpouring of support and love that's just coming in, you've lived a good life, or you've made an impact, you know what I mean? And Tiger just was that person. So
I must admit, it's not that I've been surprised. I certainly wasn't surprised by the depth of the feeling, and I suppose I'm not surprised by the breadth. It's just I hadn't really prepared for it, obviously. I don't think anybody could have prepared for it, but I've been doing some work for the family in terms of trying to handle the media and monitoring the social media and what have you. And the thing that has surprised me is the I guess I just hadn't thought about it, but there are so many people who have been impacted by Tiger, and you will never know his impact because of the job he did. But it wasn't just his radio presence. The thing that probably caught me by surprise is his influence on the music industry, because that's not something him and I ever talked about. There was a Facebook post on one of his daughter's Facebook pages from a woman who just wanted to let them know that she'd just spoken to her parents, and her mum had told her how many, many years ago Tiger had saved her father's life. And there wasn't any other detail, but I just got to thinking, what did this guy actually get up to? He's like a
Superman.
He's like a black Superman. Yeah. And we will never know. Some of it's coming out now, but it has surprised me a little bit. It's kind of brought into focus for me that we probably will never know the impact of Tiger Bales. We all know it on ourselves and what it means to us each personally, but the number of lives he impacted. I'm actually researching a book about Tiger, so I've had the pleasure of looking at all different parts of his life, and it is an extraordinary life well lived.
I'm actually amazed by how many people he knew. I'm positive he knows the majority of black families in Australia. We're talking about Stephen Oliver being related to everyone. But I'm pretty sure Tiger knew most people. I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. My dad actually came to the radio station last year, and turns out Tiger worked with my great uncle, who I never got to meet, who died before I was born, actually. And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
That's like even my uncle now. Him and Tiger just, best mates back in the day. And I'm like, what?
When did you get time?
Yeah.
I've always, and I've got to say, professionally, there's one other person who's always been for me synonymous with Tiger Bales, and that's Karen Scott, who was his right hand, at the station. And I'm presumed closest friend. I mean, those two together. They weren't just a powerhouse of radio. They were just an extraordinary duo, and so effective.
Mm.
And two people I admire so much. And the things they did. I'll choke up if I keep talking about it.
Sorry. I totally agree. That's a beautiful way to end it. And I actually wanted to end it on a song that Tiger always played, I think nearly every day almost. It was Anthem by Titters, and I think it did mean a lot to him. So we'll go there. Thank you so much, Stephen Oliver and Chris Graham, for joining me in the studio today. We'll be back tomorrow for Let's Talk, I think, with regular. But if you want to keep calling in, give us a call on 3892-0181. We'll leave you with Titters' Anthem, which Tiger used to always play on this program.
Don't sing me an anthem, 'cause you don't know the words. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the heart who's still waiting for their voice to be heard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd. Don't sing me your anthem till we've learned how to share.
to be hard.